music radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educated, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, thank you. Thank you, one and all. Rick Adams here today. Well, today, live broadcasting. It is March 2nd, I believe, 2019. Another month now beginning with you on Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're still here all of these years, right from the beginning when I came on. Just about going on 16 years now, folks. And that's a lot of time to be at one place. And I'm happy I'm here, and thank John Stadtmiller and Republic for all of the benefits that we have just being on here and speaking to an audience across the world. And we thank God for Republic Broadcasting and all of those who contribute mightily to this effort. I really sincerely mean it. You know, I'm looking at the Book of Matthew, but I have to tell you now, I'm almost getting to the end of the old covenant that I began several years ago. About 3 years ago, I started reading this Bible with a concordance by hand, you know, alongside me, and trying to wend my way toward the Old Testament and then begin the New, and hoping that I'd be able to get through with the whole Bible, hopefully before the Lord returns. I'm not so sure, but I'm grateful that here we are, that I'm now past Jonah and into Micah and going beyond that and looking forward to Zechariah and these great prophets, already, of course, read Obadiah. And things are heating up now in not only our time that we live in, but in biblical times, history and then prophecy. And so I go back today to the words of Christ himself in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken, when he is trying to, shall we say, bemuse and confuse, if you will, the worldly wise, the scribes and the Pharisees and all of those who were PhDs of their time. They were the geniuses. They were the literate ones, the rulers, the higher critics, you see. And he had a little jousting with them. He really had a little fight with them. And at that point, of course, he perceived their intentions were to kill him. And he knew that, of course, before he was born in physical form, because all of this has been a fait accompli from the beginning of this age and the age that was before it. The earth itself, before it was created. Yeah, God knows it all, and believe me, he wins in the end. I read the back of the book, as we say. So the Lord is saying to these worldly wise men, you know, in Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 38, says, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, 'Master, we would like to see a sign from you.' And Jesus answered them." Well, he said unto them, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the big fish's or the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And these, you know, the men of Nineveh repented of their sins when Jonah witnessed to them. That was a city that, you see, God turned around through the prophet Jonah. That city did see the light. Unfortunately, other cities did not in the history of the scriptures going back to the days of old, particularly Sodom and Gomorrah. They did not repent, and Lot, he couldn't even find a couple of good men or good people left in the city to justify God not destroying those two cities. And unfortunately today, you know, where we are as a world, as nation upon nation, and America, the great nation that it was, the Israel of God, now finding ourselves in the same boat as Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've reached that point now with infanticide openly boasted about and encouraged as something that is considered to be as American as apple pie, freedom of choice, and all of that by the same crowd that wants to take away your freedom to own and bear your firearms to protect yourself and your family. Again, this is a satanic group of people. They are Satan-inspired. They are Luciferian. Oh, they come, again, bearing great gifts. They come with good intentions, don't they? But, you know, that path to hell is also paved with good intentions. And I don't even think their intentions are all that good now, because they've had enough time to see how evil their machinations have become. They've materialized and resulted in much destruction, much annihilation of everything that is good and righteous. The family unit, of course, is precious among all of those. So today, we were going to have a guest who's going to talk about the theft of gold in the United States by two administrations, Lyndon Johnson, I know you won't find that to be a surprise, and Richard Nixon. But he unfortunately had to postpone till next week, I believe, because he had to do a medical procedure, and he wanted to be his usual spry and lively self. So we put that off. Instead, in the second hour, Art, who's been away, will return with us in the second hour today. There's much to talk about, obviously. One of the things that I would like to bring up and talk to you about, of course, is this whole seeming paradox, or, if you will, a paradigm, and I think that's a better choice of words, concerning Mr. Trump and all of the baggage and all of the opposition and all of this matrix that we have today in America, division and strife and envy and all kinds of confusion. We read that the media now, the establishment corrupt mainstream media, have the lowest approval rating from all of the polls, I guess, that we have seen in recent days than they've ever had before. And that is not saying very much either, because the approval rating, I believe now, is below 15% from what I've been reading. And again, I do trust generally the polls. And that is good. That is wholesome. That is a sign that not everyone believes everything that comes down the pike. And, of course, nothing could be better than that. However, unfortunately, that is not the be-all, end-all of mind control. Because, as I've said so many times on this program, folks, your mind is being tampered with constantly. It is being bombarded with all sorts of disinformation, misinformation, thinking, directed, controlled, if you will, thinking in terms of cellular technology, in terms of satellites, in terms of television viewing, radio listening even, whatever it is, you know, goes back for eons of time, days of subliminal messages. Well, we've gone way beyond that now, way, way, way beyond that. We're at the point where we think in terms of what we're supposed to think. Social media mechanisms have done that. They've created a platform for people. Some of them are just jellyfish in the brain. Nevertheless, they've created it particularly for younger ones who like to have fun with a little gadget in front of them all day long. And I find that in itself to be an opprobrium. I just find that to be totally... how can I say it? Anathema. I just think it's crazy. It's insane for people to sit down and look at a box all day long, go back and forth, with their Twitter accounts, you know, with their Facebook pages. But then again, this is a mesmerization that has taken place. This is a mesmerizing in the brain of people so that they are controlled in group form. Everywhere I go, I see men today, particularly the younger men, of course, all of them bearded, all of them wearing the same kind of, you know, costume on the face. And for the life of me, they look like cavemen, you know. And I'm not insulting people who have beards or have had them for many years, but I'm talking about the trend. That's right, Mike, I'm not. I'm talking about the trend today of people who, you know, have these beards just because it's trendy and because it represents, you know, the latest vogue. And it drives me nuts because they all look alike. And I say, is that the way they think? They all want to be alike. They all want to fall into line. They all want to be part of the group. Unfortunately, I think so. I don't know, but growing up, I was always probably a little bit different from other people in many ways, other kids. I got picked on a lot because of it too. You know, I got bullied sometimes and I usually didn't fight back, but sometimes I did and I made it rough for some, but not for others. And you know what? It helped me grow because I realized, as one teacher told me, he was a science teacher, and I remember him telling me, you know, that I should take what comes at me from the mouths of idiots as a sign, basically, that they are immature. And he said, small things come from small minds. And I said, you know, that's true. Thank you for that, Mr. O'Hare. And he was my teacher, one of my teachers in science. But, you know, it's like, why do you want to be the same? Why do you want to be like everybody else? Like society is supposed to be. The big craze now is racism. The big craze now is he's a racist, he's an anti-Semite, he's a bigot, he's this, he's that, and so forth. So they bastardize these terms so much, so these terms don't mean anything anymore at all, if they ever have. But, you know, you have to understand that this is where the lowest level of the gutter is a name call today. And that is what gets attention. Because in Congress or in the state legislatures, we have this battle going on. We just finished Black History Month. And with Black History Month, I have no objection to studying Black history, obviously. I have no objection to studying white history. I have no objection to studying any of it, actually. I think it should be studied. I think all of these things should be open, fair game. I mean, what are you afraid of? But when you mention the term Caucasian history or white history, oh my goodness, all of a sudden the flags go up. Isn't that awful, Johnny Jones? Well, isn't that terrible? That's horrible that he would want to study white history. Why? Because of all the canards, you see, all of the epitaphs, all of the smears, all of the vilification of, as they call them, whitey, over the years. And who originated that smear, that vile accusation? I think you'll find it's in La Cosa Nostra. I think you'll find over the years that white guilt has always been put on whitey. And I'm not defending every white, of course not. I'm trying to point out that there's an agenda here. And it's an agenda of racial war, racial division, racial hatred, and so on and so forth, that is brought to you by the guys and gals that are sitting on the sideline, you see, laughing and giggling, yeah, all the way, yep, to the bank. You know, to the bank, to the bank, to the bank we go. And they created it. That's why you can tell, because they've escaped it. Because every single time you even bring up anything about, oh, Mr. Kaufman or Mr. Rosenstein or what have you, immediately you are targeted and tar-brushed and, you know, call this and that. So it's a psychological war in South Africa. We talk to Monica Stone, and I communicate with her by email. And things, of course, have deteriorated enormously since the change in the government and the so-called democratic election of the African National Communist Congress that took over power and now holds it with the power of the gun. Things have gone downhill for all of the races. except the ruling class of the ANC. But we were told it would be Honoria, it would be perfect, it would be roses and honey and bee pollen and peanut butter and jelly and all of those good things, if only we had just done it years before. When in 1948, the government of South Africa came up with the apartheid system. Was it a good system, a perfect system? It wasn't perfect at all. But you see, that too was the result of miscegenation and allowing uncontrolled immigration to come into the country. So they said, oh, that's terrible. We cannot have a country just for whites and a country for blacks and a country for the Zulus and a country for the Xhosas and a country for the Burundis or for any of the other tribes. We've got to have a multiracial, universal, and unitary democracy, which now you can see for yourself. It turned out to be what democracies always turn out to be. Tyrannies. They become rule of the mob or the power base, those who are in control. So as a result of all of this, folks, we have now degenerated ourselves. This nation has been so degenerated to the point where we have no moral compass. We no longer think in terms of what's right and what's wrong. It's all relative. So abortion now, infanticide abortion, is a very real debate. While we still talk about terrible days of racism, we are also being told that we have a legitimate right to kill children, if in fact it is a mother's choice. Now, this is a world of insane people we live in. This is a world of legislators and radical extremist ideologies that just come from that cesspool of the humanist agenda and the New Age movement and the moral relativisms of the Fletchers and people of that ilk, going back to Horace Mann's days and people of that sort. You see, the New Age movement, the humanist agenda, and all of that claptrap. Now the chicken have come home to roost. They have. And now it's time for the slaughterhouse. Every idea has consequences. I remember being told that years ago through one group of people in the Foundation for Economic Education, FEE. And it's true that they do have consequences, particularly when they are applied into action. And so communism, of course, now comes to mind. Comes to mind as never before. The communist ideology, the communist system, from Marxism, from theoretics to practice, has now turned out to be the greatest force of evil, of destruction, of collectivization in the hands of the state, to liquidate, exterminate, obliterate, and annihilate those who are its intended victims. And that's what's happened. Now, incorporate that into the overall humanist communist agenda, and you can understand why it is that we are on that perilous slope as I speak. The economic signs are closing in. Economic slavery is about to unleash itself upon us as never before, and never globally as it will in the coming days, because there was no global economy going back to the days of antiquity. But now we have a globalist, one-world economic structure in America. And they call it American freedom. They say we have an American economy. We're going to bring America back to where it was. Make America great again, says Mr. Trump. And of course, none of that can happen. Not by the whims and fancies of people who are man kings, trying to change things from the top to the bottom. I told you that a million times, and few would listen. Well, now it's time to listen, folks. Rick Adams Uncensored. When I come back, I want to play a little bit of some segments on Donald Trump and cleaning the swamp, because Michael Cohen has just spilled it all. We'll be right back. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
But what else is there to do with thieves and murderers taking over?
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to play a segment of audio concerning Mr. Trump that you've probably heard me play a little bit of in the past, and I want to repeat it because this is where the rubber meets the road, folks. How many of our people are deceived by liars and political hucksters and all kinds of people that just seem to be knights in white shining armor? Well, they are not. Trump is the swamp. This is Trump's Jewish mafia and the dancing Israelis going back about a year or so. And I'm going to begin this segment right now. Let's listen.
There is absolutely no doubt that Donald Trump is supported, owned, and operated by the Zionist Jew power structure. It is a verifiable fact. It is a fact the mainstream media and mainstream alternative media alike will dare not touch. Anyone ignoring this fact and not exposing this is either incredibly naive or bought and paid for to sell you disinformation. Donald Trump is absolutely surrounded by and has appointed psychopathic neocons and Rothschild Zionists, yet many are in delusion and denial, largely in part due to their desperate desire for a savior, and this is what the elite have counted on. It is through this desperation and demoralization of a collective consciousness, sick and tired of a corrupt system and government, they were able to once again pull off another dog and pony show and manipulate people into believing that once again, things could be different this time. Through the obsolete and meaningless system of voting. Hope and change 2.0. Unfortunately, this is just another case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We are led to believe that Trump is at war with the mainstream media and the establishment, a mainstream media that is mainly Zionist, Jewish-owned and operated. Another verifiable fact. Trump is also surrounded and supported by an endless stream of Ashkenazi Jews in his organizations and administration. He is, of course, a quote-unquote lifelong supporter and true friend of Israel, the largest terrorist state in the world. Sadly, most people do not realize that Israel and Mossad intelligence were key players in carrying out 9/11. If Trump truly was for the people, he would help expose the stranglehold of Israel and the Zionist power structure. Keep in mind, the Israel of the Bible is a completely different entity than the modern United Nations created state of Israel, which is a terrorist state of the New World Order. This is a distinction many indoctrinated Christians fail to grasp. America is just a puppet regime of Israel and Zion. A small fraction of the population are finally discovering that this Zionist apparatus controls our Federal Reserve System, corporations, Hollywood, and our media, and have our politicians in their back pockets. An even smaller fraction of the population understands that Trump would never get to where he is if he weren't owned and operated by these same powers. And as they say, the proof is in the pudding. In addition to Trump being a staunch Zionist supporter, all one needs to do is look at who surrounds and supports Donald Trump. Then you will understand how the media versus Trump narrative is just another ruse in Zionist script. The scripted battle between Trump and the Jewish-owned media was the key chessboard move to legitimizing Trump in the eyes of the demoralized populace. A demoralized populace who by now has little to no trust for the so-called dinosaur media. The idea that Trump is at war with a Jewish-owned media, while simultaneously surrounded and supported by an army of them, is as ridiculous and absurd as it can get, and isn't remotely believable to anyone aware of who really owns the media. Many have also been fooled into believing Trump has hinted at 9/11 truth, but this is nothing more than laughable to any real 9/11 researcher. What he has stated publicly on 9/11 thus far has been nothing but lies and misdirection. In addition to being friends with 9/11 perp Rudy Giuliani, Trump has focused on the limited hangout and misdirection angle of Saudi Arabia, which is what gatekeepers, disinfo agents, and the media focuses on, ignoring the huge elephant in the room, Israel. Trump has publicly stated that he saw quote-unquote thousands of Muslim Americans celebrating the 9/11 attacks in New Jersey, which is the biggest lie imaginable. The real truth Trump or your mainstream media will never mention is the only people actually documented celebrating the 9/11 event were a small handful of undercover Israeli Mossad agents who had been in the U.S. for months and some for years, whose operation was busted by a nationwide FBI sting and were captured on the George Washington Bridge with explosives in their van of their front company, Urban Moving Systems.
Deborah Favre, the reports we're getting now, two or three men arrested on the New Jersey Parkway. Deborah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. That is the information that I'm getting from two sources, that there was a van either on the New Jersey Turnpike or the Garden State Parkway, and that it was near the George Washington Bridge. There were two or three men who were in the van. The van was pulled over. It is not clear why the van was pulled over, but when it was, law enforcers found tons of explosives inside of the van. That is right now all I'm hearing, but again, two to three people in custody, and we are trying to get more information on that right now.
And word late tonight that two suspects are in FBI custody after a truckload of explosives was discovered around the George Washington Bridge. That bridge links New York to New Jersey over the Hudson River. Whether the discovery of those explosives had anything to do with other events of the day is unclear, but the FBI has two suspects in hand, said the truck load of explosives, enough explosives were in the truck to do great damage to the George Washington Bridge. But they arrested the two suspects and they're questioning them as we speak.
Since 9/11, we have thousands of pages of FBI, CIA, and DOJ reports documenting the arrests made on 9/11. The FBI report outlines the fact that the dancing
and we'll take
found
this quick break, folks, and we'll come right back. Stay tuned. More of Rick Adams Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
And good afternoon, fellow Eloi, and we're back now. Going to continue this segment from this site, and of course that was from the posting or the channel Trump is the Swamp, and that has to do with RAWW raising awareness worldwide, and naturally the site, the channel had been actually closed down for some time. So in any event, you have to understand this is from YouTube and other venues, but YouTube had shut the channel down because it was, I guess, stepping on a few sore toes. Well, let's get back to the Cosa Nostra and the Swamp with Trump.
Since 9/11, we have thousands of pages of FBI, CIA, and DOJ reports documenting the arrests made on 9/11. The FBI report outlines the fact that the dancing Israelis were found to have taken 76 photographs, had maps, plane tickets, box cutters, and almost $5,000 in cash. In their 2004 civil lawsuit, the Israeli plaintiffs demanded their possessions and money back, in addition to many other demands. The declassified FBI reports also outlined the little-known fact that additional Israelis driving vans were arrested by police in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire after the 9/11 attack. Numerous trucks and vans with explosives were stopped by police on 9/11. And, as outlandish and unbelievable as it may sound, One of the vans had a mural painted on the side of it depicting a plane crashing into the Twin Towers. This is confirmed by two sources. One, the New York Police radio transmission recordings from the day of 9/11. Two, it was also discussed by U.S. Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta himself in his February 2006 official report titled Saving City Lifelines, Lessons Learned in the 9/11 Terrorist Attacks. The report stated, quote, "There were continuing moments of alarm. A panel truck with a painting of a plane flying into the World Trade Center was stopped near the temporary command post. It proved to be rented to a group of ethnic Middle Eastern people who did not speak English. Fearing that it might be a truck bomb, the NYPD immediately evacuated the area, called out the bomb squad, and detained the occupants until a thorough search was made. The vehicle was found to be an innocent delivery truck." End quote. The report, of course, makes absolutely no mention of the truck exploding or the fact that these Middle Eastern people had actually been Israeli spies.
Spencer, I got a message on that plane. It's a big truck with a mural painted of an airplane diving into New York City and exploding. No, what's in the truck. The truck is in between 6th and 7th on King Street.
All right, Sam, I'll send the issue to the bomb squad. They're full with King.
The bomb? With a mural painted, airplane diving into New York, blowing up. Two men got out of the truck, ran away from it. We got those two under. That's good.
Are you holding those two guys, Kate?
I've got so many questions, but you are vindicated. This has got to be the 50th time in the last 6 months on the radical Muslims celebrating, not just in New Jersey, but New York, Palestine, all over. What do you have to say? They're still attacking you, though. We've got Dan Rather on video. We've got New York Post. We've got Washington Post. We've got, what's going on here? On the radical Muslims celebrating, not just in New Jersey, but New York, Palestine, all over. What do you have to say? They're still attacking you, though. We've got Dan Rather on video. We've got New York Post. We've got Washington Post. We've got, what's going on here?
Well, I took a lot of heat, and I was very strong.
All right,
of course,
folks.
Even though Israel's involvement in 9/11 is now documented, proven, and verifiable fact, this information has been well swept under the radar. Most Americans will never realize what took place regarding the many Israeli spies arrested and detained on 9/11, only to be later released and sent back to Israel. This information will never be mentioned or covered by the mainstream media, let alone Donald Trump. And that is because he is obviously in bed with Israel and the Mossad.
Alrighty, did you hear that, Mike? Are you listening, Mike? Alright, that's the end of the first. Now let's go to the second clip, and we have Mossad Mike on the board, so you can blame him if there are any mistakes. No, I'm just kidding. Alright, the second clip now is also a continuation of the first, and this is the best part. Stay tuned.
So now you can see how absurd the notion that the Jewish-owned media really hates Donald Trump when they actually love him. Take CNN for example, all Jewish-owned and run. The major shareholder for CNN is Aviv Nevo, an Israeli billionaire venture capitalist. Head of CNN is Zionist Jeff Zucker, along with the many Zionist Jew propagandists such as Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, Larry King, and many more. But you get the point. The reason the media has been quote-unquote against Donald Trump is because that was the Zionist script that has been written. This glaring contradiction is how you can see through this elaborate charade and deception of Trump, the so-called anti-establishment figure. Now you know when you see him call out CNN or any other mainstream media outlet, it is a ruse and nothing more than Zionist scripted entertainment and distraction for a dumbed-down and ignorant populace. The bottom line is, you cannot be anti-establishment, anti-globalist, and be pro-Zionist, pro-Israel. This is the real truth. And until we see otherwise, nothing will ever change.
It is time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
Her papers went out to all her friends at the banks, Goldman Sachs, and everybody else.
President-elect Donald Trump turned to former Goldman Sachs banker and movie financier Steve Mnuchin to be the next Treasury Secretary.
We're working on the economic plan of the transition, making sure we get the biggest tax bill passed.
The 53-year-old was Trump's campaign finance chief, building a network of donors to support Mr. Trump's general election campaign. Mr. Mnuchin has strong ties to Wall Street after a 17-year career at Goldman Sachs, where he pioneered block trading, the selling of big chunks of shares at once. Mr. Mnuchin was born to a Jewish family in 1962, and his father also worked at Goldman Sachs.
It's official. President-elect Donald Trump has picked Gary Cohn to head the National Economic Council. Gary Cohn's also going to be an assistant to the president for economic policy. If you've been watching CNBC, you already knew this because we've been reporting this for what feels like days, but now it is. We will miss Gary at Goldman Sachs, but I believe the American people and the president-elect are fortunate that he has chosen to serve his country. I am confident that Gary will bring his many talents and expertise to the White House and will do his part to make our economy stronger for all Americans. That coming from Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail. I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation.
Everything he just said is absolutely false.
Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
Are you going to ask for a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton over her emails?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to think about it. She did some bad things. I mean, she did some bad things.
A special prosecutor?
I don't want to hurt them. They're good people.
Hillary Clinton, commonly referred to as Crooked Hillary.
She's crooked as a $3 bill.
She's married to an abuser, a woman claimed rape, and all sorts of things. I mean, horrible things.
She should be in prison.
She's the queen of corruption.
She's a disaster.
She's a dangerous liar.
She's the devil.
She's a monster. Hillary Clinton, I think, is a terrific woman. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've known her for years. I live in New York. She lives in New York. And I've known her and her husband for years, and I really like them both a lot. And I think she really works hard. And I think she, again, she's given an agenda. It's not all of her, but I think she really works hard, and I think she does a good job. I just like her. I like her, and I like her husband. You'll be looking at the record of Hillary Clinton, and how did she do as Secretary of State? Probably above and beyond everybody else and everything else.
All right. Okay. That's enough, folks. We can stop it here, Mike. All right. Well, in any event, you got a nice little collage of some clips and news actualities from all of the camps here. And I think it tells a good story. I think it tells you that the American public has been had once again. And it didn't come under the radar screen. It didn't just appear out of nowhere. It just wasn't a new phenomenon, as many would believe. No, I've been there long enough, folks. I've studied this stuff. for at least 45 years. And unfortunately, they've all been weighed in the balance and found wanting. The system is totally corrupt. Not everyone is a conspirator, no. Not everybody is in on it, no. But the system is a conspiratorial and corrupt one. It is totally dominated by the powers that be in the synagogue of Satan. And if you read your Bible, you would understand that of the four hidden dynasties, academic and media are, of course, one of them. To control them, to control the mind, is what the sons and daughters of Cain absolutely must do. And they have done that. They've done that since day one in this country, particularly throughout the end of the 19th century into the 20th century up till the present, when they bought out the media and newspapers and began to condition people in the mind. So now we have Mr. Cohen, who comes before this committee again, this select committee, to discuss all of the, under oath, by the way, all of the evils of Mr. Trump. His one-time attorney, who, of course, he swore by, who he sworn allegiance to, and Mr. Trump swore by and said he's, you know, one of the finest men that I've ever known, like Dave Schwartzman and like Gary Cohen and Steve Schwartzman and Bill Hafemeyer and a whole host of others that just happened to be part of the swamp that Mr. Trump is also a part of. So when Mr. Cohen gave his testimony, and I'll be honest with you folks, and I am honest, I didn't listen to 3 minutes of it. And I'm told that the Holocaust came up again. Of course, his father or something was another survivor. And from that point on, you knew what was coming. You know, how deep can you shovel? Well, pretty deep. But in any event, he said he was ashamed, because he knows what Mr. Trump is. He's a racist. He's a con man. He's a cheat. And the people who are watching it, many of them were asking the question, are you looking in a mirror, Mr. Trump? Because it sounds like a mirror image of yourself and your clique that rules this corrupt White House. You know, again, folks, he said, she said, we said, they said. That's not the important story of the week, because you're dealing with a convicted swindler, a convicted liar, a man who is already sentenced to a prison term, and this guy is trying to get a better deal. He's trying to get a nicer deal. And basically, he's trying to sink Mr. Trump. Well, that's what these Deanites do. They will take you down. They'll put you in office. They'll be your friend 1 minute, and then the next minute, when you know what happens, they all run for cover and point the finger at you. Traitorous, lecherous, these are the kinds of people that you know you don't want in your government. And yet, you're part of their government. Richard Nixon found that out, didn't he? Ford was part of it. Lyndon Johnson, big time. And then, of course, we had little Jimmy Carter, who said, he told you on the way to the campaign trail, he said, if you see a Cyrus Vance, when I become president as Secretary of State and Zbigniew Brzezinski as security advisor, you will know that I have failed the American public. And those are the two posts that he filled with those same people that he warned about. Folks, again, Jimmy Carter was the answer to the corruption of all the years of Watergate. Mr. Nixon and Mr. Ford and the public had enough of the Republicans. It was time for another Tweedledee and another Tweedledum. Some of us knew better. Some of us were living in that time. And some of us understood that it was just one big grand design. As I guess G. Edward Griffin wrote in that book, The Grand Design. Friends, you know, again, if you want to put your hopes in men, King, that's fine, you can do it. But you know what? You're going to be sadly mistaken and disappointed in the end. And this is why. Have to look up, not outward, not at politicians, at economists, soothsayers, and all sorts of crystal ball people in the 2020 elections. All of that is absolutely passe. It is meaningless. It is worthless, because we do not have a political republic. We do not have an elective government. We have a selective government, one that's selected for you and one that you will either obey or be destroyed by. That's your choice. You will follow, goose-step your way through it, or you will wind up out to pasture. And that's what happened with the politicians like Mr. Nixon and, of course, Bilderberg or Ford. And we saw that, too, with Jimmy, when Jimmy was washed out. He was wrung out like a wet rag to dry out. And then we had 8 long years of Ronald Reagan. And we had the Department of Education and Energy come in. The IRS grew. Government grew. Regulation grew. Harassment grew. We saw what happened to Congressman Hansen. And then under Clinton, under Bush, under Bush Sr., go all the way down the line. There isn't a dime's worth of difference. All right, we'll come back. I have another clip I think I'd like to play, too. And it has to do with the lobby. Guess which lobby? Rick Adams Uncensored. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams Uncensored with you. I think, Mike, if we have that other clip ready, you can let me know. But this one here has to do with the U.S. government hostage to Israel, interview with Mark Brozonski, who is one of the tribe, I think, and does on Russian TV, does a pretty good job of trying to lay the cards out on the table. So in any event, let's see, Mike, if you're ready. We'll try to air this next one right now. Okay, just
do you ever wonder why the U.S. has such a strong relationship with Israel, a relationship that President Obama himself has referred to as, quote, an unbreakable bond? One of the reasons the connection between these two countries is so close might be because of a powerful lobbying effort. AIPAC, or the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, is self-described as the most important organization affecting the U.S.'s relationship with Israel. The lobby has tens of thousands of members, and its annual policy conference is one of Washington's largest gathering of lawmakers, exceeded only by the State of the Union address, which is why Republican Senator Chuck Hagel in 2006 drew such heavy criticism over his views on the lobby's influence. He said, quote, the political reality is that the Jewish lobby intimidates a lot of people up here. I'm a United States senator. I'm not an Israeli senator. Now that Hagel has been tapped for a spot as defense secretary, the mainstream media has been very quick to pick up on those past criticisms. But why has the questioning of this lobby become so taboo? To talk about this unbreakable bond and what it all means for U.S. foreign policy, I'm joined by Mark Brzozinski, publisher of MiddleEast.org.
Hello, Robbie.
Thank you so much for coming on, Mark.
Thank you.
So, obviously, Hagel's comments blew up in the mainstream media, not surprising at all. First of all, why is it so taboo to admit that this lobby has influence? And secondly, why is it so taboo to say that, first and foremost, if you're a public servant, that your allegiance is for this country instead of Israel?
You know, the idea that mentioning the Israeli lobby, the Jewish lobby, I've called it the Israeli Jewish lobby in print for a long time. For those of us that have followed this for decades, we're looking and we're kind of laughing. Everybody knows there's this powerful lobby, just like everybody knows there's global warming. But there are certain things you can't really deal with in Washington. They're third rails, they're taboo subjects. It's not the mention of them. That's not the problem. It's the standing up to them. It's not letting them always dominate. It's voting against them. It's speaking against them. Journalists are ostracized. Presidents are ostracized. Remember what was President Carter? How he had to pull back when they were insisting on American policies being what they wanted and not what President Carter wanted. Think to the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Bill Fulbright was pushed out of town. Mm. Chuck Percy was pushed out of town. So there's a long history to this. Hagel's problem is not that he mentioned the subject. Hagel's problem is that he occasionally stood up to them.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate, really, that this is the situation. But, you know, when Hagel was a senator, he signed an aid package, $40 billion worth of aid to Israel. At the same time, Israel was violating international law. I mean, it seemed pretty pro-Israel to me. What really stipulates not being pro-Israel enough?
Look, let's just call it straight. I've been in Washington a long time. My first job when I first came here right out of grad school was to represent the World Jewish Congress. But it wasn't today's World Jewish Congress. It was the World Jewish Congress of the Internationalists, of Dr. Nachum Goldman. So I've been involved in this for a long time. They rely on intimidation. They rely on blackmail. They rely on letting people know that if you cross them, your career's in jeopardy. They do it with journalists, they do it with politicians, and they've been extremely successful because it's not just AIPAC. AIPAC is just the tip. That's just the public. You've got the President's Conference of major American Jewish organizations. You've got the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee. You've got Commentary Magazine. You've got two think tanks, one with the Republicans and the hardliners, the Near East Institute, the other, the Saban Institute with the Democrats. It's a whole range of interlocking and interworking organizations. But where did it start from? It started from the Holocaust. Mm. It started from Jewish impotence in the 30s and 40s and what happened to the Jewish people in Europe. And then the fight in the 40s over whether or not the U.S. would support the creation of a Jewish state. Everybody's forgotten the biggest person in foreign policy, General Marshall, opposed it. He even told President Truman that if you, President Truman, support the creation of a Jewish state, it will be unending war in the Middle East, it will be against American interests, and I, your Secretary of State, am going to resign. He threatened to resign over this.
Wow.
So this fight's been going on for a
right.
long time.
But how did it evolve?
All right. Okay, that's it. That's the clip, folks. I think you find that very edifying as well. All right, so we're up against the top of the hour. Art is coming up in just a couple of moments. You know, I'm using this as a backdrop for the fact that what we have in the situation going on in Israel today is a very interesting one. And it is an election year, as you know.